Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon, well, it begins in Habakkuk chapter 2. Behold, his soul is puffed up, it is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. So, what does that mean, the righteous shall live by his faith? Setting the stage, Habakkuk looks around him and he sees a world where everything seems backwards. His cry in chapter 1, O Lord, how long? Why? He starts listing iniquity, destruction, violence, strife, contention, and then says, so the law, the Torah, the word of God, is held back. Justice never goes forth. The wicked surround the righteous, and the Torah of God is not simply the do's and the don'ts. The Torah of God is what God has done from the beginning of the world, creating and setting everything in place and making his promises. The Torah includes the promise to Adam and Eve that the seed of the woman would come and crush the head of the devil. The Torah includes the gospel, and Habakkuk is asking, why? Why is this not happening, and where is it, and how long, Lord? It's the cry of every generation, isn't it? Why and how long and what is happening in our world? The question is, how do we say it in our day? The question is not, do we say it in our day, but how do we say it in our day? And in my years in the ministry, this is what I've heard asked over and over and over again. Why doesn't God act and get rid of suffering and evil? Part of the answer is just this. If God did decide today or tomorrow to get rid of all evil in the world, what would happen to you? That's not a nice question, is it? But back to Habakkuk, and the thing is, God answers. Chapter 2, the answer comes along. The righteous shall live by his faith. What exactly does that mean? Hey, Teddy, you want to come up here and help me with this? Come on. You're going to act the part of a guy that I saw on television years and years ago when I was a child. He got on television and he said, I'm a Christian. I've been reading my Bible. I've been praying. I've been praying a whole lot. Okay? And he said, I think, achieved a level of faith. And tomorrow morning, I invite the reporters to come out with me to the shores of Lake Michigan, where I will walk on water. Okay, so you're that guy standing up here on the shores of Lake Michigan. What do you think happened? Are you sure about that? Right. Pretty sure. Yeah. You know what was on the news about him the next morning? Absolutely nothing. So, if you were to step out on the water, what would it look like if you're him? And you start walking out on the, what would it look like? Go ahead. Oh, you're still on top of the water? You're not sinking yet. You got to act out the sinking part. Lower and lower and lower and lower. Okay, that's that guy. What is faith? What is faith? Is it something that we work up in ourselves? Well, along comes the gospel lesson, and Jesus, responding to his disciples, and his disciples say, did you catch the question? Increase our faith. What's he say? If you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. How does saying that increase their faith? Or is it simply pointing out to them the smallness of their faith or their lack of faith? They said, increase our faith. Did he, by answering in that way, actually increase their faith or give them an idea of what faith is all about? And he follows that up by, now if you're a servant, don't go bragging about how you've done such great things. What servant expects to be thanked for simply doing his duty? Now, how does that increase faith? And meanwhile, we've got running around on television, we've got TV preachers that it's called Name It and Claim It. And they're saying, believe God for your promises. Believe God for your health. Believe God, and one of them did this, believe God for the brand new Cadillac. Well, his thing was, believe God for the brand new Cadillac, and to show that you believe God, send me $100. Is that faith? What about the mustard seed? First step is, we as Christians, we believe something different about this thing called faith than what runs around in the world. And what's going around in the world is faith that you crank upon your own and you just got to believe, and the intensity of my belief and my sureness about faith is what makes things happen, and that's all wrong. The mustard seed does not sit there and say, I have great faith as a mustard seed, and now I will do these things, does it? Using Jesus' illustration, where he heads us into a certain direction, and it begins to make sense. But what we believe as Christians about faith really is different. So, a second time through, but the righteous shall live by his faith. His? How many people are we talking about here? The righteous shall live by his faith. You know, it seems to be talking about the one person, the one righteous. And if we're talking about the one righteous, we know who that is, don't we? That would be Jesus. The righteous shall live by his faith. So we're back to talking about Jesus. Jesus, the one who walks the walk of faith. Jesus, the one who steps out on the water and he walks on it. Jesus, the one who does these miracles. But more importantly, Jesus, the one who's willing to go to the Garden of Gethsemane and kneel there and get ready to be arrested. The righteous shall live by his faith. His faith is the faith that brings life to us as well. because his faith is the faith that was able to endure at the cross, where all the curses on the world gathered together, and he hung there under them with faith, holding to the words and promises of God. There's your definition from Luther. Faith is to believe the words and promises of God, no matter what, believing those words and promises of God. This is going to lead us back to the mustard seed, by the way. Believing the words and promises of God given from before the foundation of the world, the words and promises of God written into the Scripture, the words and promises of God where Habakkuk is told, write the vision. Write it out. Put it in words. Have it actually there in the world so that people can read it and people can grab a hold of it, and the one who needs it more than any other can take the vision and run with it. The righteous shall live by his faith. So that when that one who needs it more than any others needs that vision, he can take it and go to the garden and kneel down, and he can pray the prayer and have God say no to his prayer and still continue on and know that his prayer is heard, and know that he can trust his Father, Jesus, the man of faith. And connected with Jesus, the man of faith, then when we have the words of Jesus coming to us and speaking forgiveness to us and speaking salvation to us and opening up the promises of God to us, that those words within us open up all eternity. They make us children of God, clearing away the sin and inviting us and connecting us and making us children of God. That's where the faith is heading. So for us as Christians, faith is not that we look inside ourselves and say, I have some pretty good faith here. Maybe if I did it better than that guy back in the 1970s, I could call the reporters down to the shores of Lake Michigan and I wouldn't be embarrassed. No, you would be. Because that kind of faith looking in is not what we're talking about. Faith has to look away from itself, or it is not faith. If it doesn't look away from itself, it's self-aggrandizement. It's the servant saying, look how good I am. It's a mustard seed boasting about its ability, and that's not faith. But faith looks away from itself to what is given to it, to the words and promises of God, to what is written, to what is written down into this world. And all of those things written down for our faith, they lead us back again and again and again to Jesus. A third time through, but the righteous shall live by his faith. And what exactly does this mean? What does the mustard seed do? The mustard seed does exactly what is written into it by the creating hand of God. Written to it, into its existence. And it simply carries that out. The farmers know this. When you go out and you plant the seed of corn into the ground, you are trusting that that corn is going to follow the written instructions placed into it by the hand of the Almighty God, and you wait for it. And you wait and watch, and then you see it happening. That's what's meant by faith like the mustard seed. Looking to what is written down, written into its very existence. That's why Jesus points to the servant. Because what the servant is doing is simply what he's been told to do. That's all it is. Habakkuk. What's he told to do? Write the vision. Again and again, the word of God written down into our world for our souls to see, for our eyes to read, for our ears to hear, and that written word of God calling us into eternal life, into forgiveness, into everything. And that's what faith is. This is what the disciples struggle with. I'm pausing right now to just let that hang there for a while. It's what we struggle with, isn't it? Because we've got this thing in our minds that I've got to do, I've got to be able, I've got to be strong, I've got to have this much faith. No, you don't. Because if you have to have this much faith, then you're not understanding what faith is. Simply looking away from yourself to the Word of God, to the Son of God, to the Savior, and saying, God said it, God did it, my Savior died and rose for me, that's enough. It doesn't depend on me to believe hard enough. It doesn't depend on me to hang on to the Word of God tightly enough. Because no matter how hard I believe or how weakly I believe, if that Word of God is written there in your soul, then that Word of God is doing what it does. It's carrying you along. And you can go along feeling strong one day and feeling horribly weak the next day. Doesn't change what the Word of God is, and it doesn't change what the Word of God does. God is the one who holds you, not you holding on to God. Righteous shall live by his faith. But his faith is not in himself, and his faith is not in his faith. It is a call from God to simply hear that word of God. So simply that like the tiny mustard seed, we see that word of God being the truth of God written into all of his plans and all of his kingdom, written into the plan of salvation itself, written into our lives. So Habakkuk is told, write the vision. The apostles are told, go make disciples. And even there it goes back to Jesus, who said that he was speaking nothing else than what he received from his Father, and doing no works other than those he learned from his Father. And the Father then turns and says, behold my servant. And we're called to let go of even the pride of faith and to simply say, no, it's the Word of God. Whether I believe it or not, it is the Word of God and it is true, and Jesus is the Lord and he is the Savior and is promised life eternal. That's all I need. In Jesus' name, amen.